You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
So I want to introduce to you now someone who is a really special person that many of you know. He's Cachiquel Mayan Guatemalan, but some would say now he's probably about 15% Canadian because he comes up here and visits us so often. And in 2010, actually, had to flee with his family into exile in Vancouver, and people from all over Vancouver opened their arms to his family, so I know he has a special place in his heart for us. That's Leocadio Huracan, General Coordinator of the Campesino Committee of the Highlands. Thank you.
Muy buenas noches a todas y a todos. Otra vez una gran alegría poder compartir y encontrarnos nuevamente en el Raisom. También las compañeras agradecerles por su hospitalidad.
So good evening, everyone. Once again, it's a great pleasure to find myself again in the Rhizome Cafe, and I want to thank the compañeras for their hospitality.
Bueno, y todos los que han hecho posible otra vez nuestra venida, encontrarlos a ustedes y compartir también nuestras luchas, nuestra inspiración por la justicia en Guatemala. Seguramente algunos ya conocen nuestra historia. El CCDA surge el 2 de marzo del 82. Y este 2 de marzo del 2013,
and also thank you to all of you who have worked hard to make possible our visit and who are helping strengthen our work in solidarity with the peoples of Guatemala. And so many of you already know our story, that the CCDA, the Campesino Committee of the Highlands, rose up or was established the 2nd of March of 1982. And this last March, we celebrated our 31st anniversary. So we have a lot of stories to tell you from through that. Unfortunately, we lived through the period of the war, of criminalization, when we were forced to go underground. But we also participated strongly in the peace process and the pacification, the end of the war. And for the last 15 years now, have been active in steering a new path through the post-war era. I mentioned that we were founded the 2nd of March of 1982, and just 20 days later, on the 22nd of March, General Efraín Ríos Montt, this guy, carried out a military coup and established himself as the leader, the dictator of Guatemala.
Que el CCDA surge el 2 de marzo del 82, y el 22 de marzo del mismo año, o sea, 20 días después del surgimiento del CCDA, el General Ríos Montt diera el golpe de Estado en Guatemala el 22 de marzo. Es un asesino de muchos de nuestros dirigentes. Muchos de nuestros dirigentes tuvieron que salir al exilio para poder librarse. Otros fueron masacrados, asesinados por este general. Y también mucha masacre en las diferentes comunidades indígenas que buscan la justicia en Guatemala.
And he was the killer of many of our leaders. Many of our leaders had to flee into exile during his dictatorship. Many more were killed, and many of our communities were massacred. Last week, General Efraín Ríos Montt, the trial for genocide started for General Efraín Ríos Montt, and we hope that he will be held responsible for the more than 460 massacres of indigenous communities that took place, and we're convinced that he will end up being in prison for this, finally. And so he was one of those directly responsible for the many massacres committed by the army against the indigenous communities in our country. Fortunately, during the armed conflict, our indigenous communities were able, in some cases, to organize and actually expulse or throw out the army from our towns and communities. Some of you who may have visited us and may have come with us to visit the town of Santiago Atitlan on the shores of Lake Atitlan, would have visited the Park of Peace. That is park commemorates or remembers one of the massacres that was carried out there that involved massacre of children as young as 5 years old. And in response, this people, this town, the people of this town, organized massively and were able to drive the army out, force the army out of the town. The same thing was carried out in San Lucas Toliman and other heroic towns in the region.
Esta comunidad muy valiente que resistió a la opresión que resistió a las masacres cometidas por el ejército, logra expulsar al ejército de su comunidad, igual que San Lucas Tolimán y otros pueblos heroicos que expusieron su vida por la justicia. Y luego todo el proceso de negociaciones de paz, la cual también el CCDA jugó un papel importante en formular propuestas tanto en el Acuerdo de Identidad, Derechos de los Pueblos Indígenas y el Acuerdo Socioeconómico y Situación Agraria. El CCDA ha hecho propuestas importantes porque es necesario en Guatemala que haya un...
Then came the whole process, the long process of the peace negotiations between the government and the Guatemalan National Revolutionary Unity, in which the CCDA played a role in generating proposals along with other campesino organizations, particularly in two key peace agreements. One, the agreement on indigenous rights and identity, and the other on social and agrarian issues. So during the negotiations on these themes, the CCDA really pushed for worked into that agreement would be the development of a rural code or an agrarian code that would regulate and govern land ownership that has become so concentrated in Guatemala, and that would regulate the conditions of labor in the countryside, because those two things were some of the key things that were the roots that gave rise to the Civil War. Unfortunately, Guatemala has lived a long history of exploitation, of racism, of marginalizing of the campesino, the small farmer, and the indigenous peoples. And even today, we're seeing new waves of robbing or pillaging of the land of the indigenous peoples. And this new wave of displacement is due to the development model that the current state is promoting. It's a model that bases itself on mining and resource extraction, on monoculture, and on exploitation of hydroelectric sources. Under the argument of generating income, generating jobs for the population, and under the argument of promoting development, the indigenous communities are continuing to be evicted and driven off their lands. And because of the resistance to this, in order to be able to carry it out, in order to carry out this model of development that the current state has adopted, they've had to move back to remilitarize the country. The thing that we had tried to drive out with the peace accords that had caused so much pain in our communities, of getting the armies out of the communities, is now being repeated. And so the cycle of poverty and exploitation continues.
Violencia en el país y mantener el círculo de la explotación, de la pobreza, de la sumisión. Este es un compañero que viene del altiplano con la esperanza de encontrar trabajo y ganar dinero para poder llevar alimento a su familia, está siendo explotado por los grandes terratenientes que producen caña de azúcar.
This is a compañero from the highlands who is forced to migrate down to look for work, to look for ways of sustaining his family, and ends up working on the big sugar plantations. And you've probably heard about the sort of rural workers process there where small farmers, Mayan campesinos from the highlands are gathered together and shipped down to the coast during harvest season and housed in these massive barns where there's very little sanitary conditions, very, very poor living conditions. And many times the compañeros that go down end up getting sick. Some of them even die and do not return again to their communities. So the cost of the basic food basket or the cost of living in Guatemala is calculated at a salary of $20 a day. However, the government itself establishes as its minimum wage, its rural minimum wage, a wage that is half that. And so the state itself is violating its own international conventions around food security. But the worst thing is that in many of these plantations, they don't pay even the established minimum wage. Instead, working shifts of 10 to 12 hours, they're paid a quarter of what they would need to meet that basic food basket. So hearing those details, it shouldn't be surprising that more than 50% of children in Guatemala are suffering from malnutrition, or that some 3,700,000 Guatemalans are living in extreme poverty. And so we're driven off our lands, partly as a way to create this desperate labor force, to be able to exploit us on these plantations, which are expanding. The sugarcane plantations are expanding rapidly because of the demand for biofuels. And so this new demand, this new interest in biofuels is creating both the expansion of the sugarcane plantations and the African palm for biodiesel. And as these expand, they're forcing communities out.
Otra de las razones del por qué despojen a los territorios de los pueblos indígenas es por la producción de palma africana y la producción de otros cultivos para generar este agrocombustible también. Esta es una plantación de palma africana para la producción de aceite, para la producción del agrocombustible que generan para los vehículos. Y no solo destruyen las diferentes especies que hay en esta área, sino también se apropian de los ríos para poder regar estas plantaciones.
And so this is an example of the expansion of the African palm plantations to create both palm oil and biodiesel. And it doesn't just sort of create this desert where other species have been displaced and wiped out, but the plantation owners are diverting the rivers so that they will irrigate their growing plantations. And they are also, because these plantations are so large, they apply pesticides and fungicides through aerial spraying. So we end up with clouds of these chemicals blowing through. And so this is the second reason for the new wave of expulsions, of the new thing that's driving us off our lands. It's something, again, that is presented as development for us, but it doesn't just drive us off our lands, it destroys the lands. This is the Marlin mine in San Marcos province. This isn't development. This is expulsion. This is destruction. This generates deep divisions in our communities. It generates violence and assassination against the people that oppose this form of development. But it doesn't matter to them. This is an example of the lengths that they go to drive us out. These are this is a burning of some Kekchi Mayan villages that happened 2 years ago in the Polochic Valley to allow for the expansion of the biodiesel plantations. Until recently, these people lived in isolation. No one really cared that they were there farming, living in poverty. No one paid attention to them until they discovered that this was good land for growing African palm. And then they moved in. Suddenly they were interested in development there, and they burned them out. And so they burned their homes. They wiped out their crops. In this particular eviction, three compañeros were killed. The state sent 500 soldiers to carry out this operation, and then they were backed by private guards employed by the company. And these people, when they're burned out, they had nowhere to go. So for the past 2 years, they've been living in little plastic-covered huts along the side of the highway, trying to make do. Sometimes they eat once a day. If they're lucky, they eat twice a day, usually just a tortilla with some salt and chili. And this is one of the places where you find so many of the children with malnutrition. The kids don't go to school because there's nowhere to go. In 2011, this community was accompanied to take a case before the Inter-American Human Rights Commission. And that commission ruled or gave a directive to the Guatemalan state that they needed to take responsibility for these people and take care of their well-being, guarantee the education of their children. That was 2 years ago now, but the state still is not providing education, housing, health care, or food for these people. And currently we're working with some lawyers to prepare a case against the government for racism that took place in this particular case and for failure to guarantee the constitutional right to food.
6 meses después de haber sido desalojado en el 2011, los compañeros lograron hacer una denuncia en la Comisión Interamericana de Derechos Humanos y esta comisión dictó medidas cautelares para que el Estado les garantice los servicios sociales básicos. Cuando realizamos la marcha, justamente el año pasado era nuestro tercer día de caminar los 214 kilómetros. También el gobierno asumió la responsabilidad de devolver las tierras a los campesinos del Polochí que fueron desalojados.
And so in March of last year, when we made the great march from 214 kilometers from Copan, near where the Polochic Valley is, to the capital, in negotiations with the government committed to find other lands for these people who've been driven off. And so in total, there's 800 families that had been driven out. And in the agreement that we negotiated with the government last March, they agreed that in 2012, they would find new places for 300 families. In 2013, for another 300 families, and in 2014, for the remaining 200 families. But once again, they've broken their word. Through the entire year 2012, they didn't provide land for even one family. And so we have now launched an international campaign of signatures to try and pressure through the international community the Guatemalan government to fulfill its word and provide land to these people that have been driven off. In Guatemala, though, partly as a result of the march, as a result of this wave of criminalization of dissent, of repression, of assassinating activists, it's pushed the different organizations of the popular movement, the campesinos, the workers, the different sectors, to begin to work together, to begin to cooperate. The war ended in 97, and there is a peace agreement, and since then there's been elections. The last year, following elections, the person that was elected to power, the person that came to power in January of last year, was General Otto Perez Molina, retired general who had been involved in the counterinsurgency operations during the war. And what they've seen is a redeploying of the army against this, the internal enemy, against the civilian population. So in Barrias, in Huehuetenango, the army occupied the town and carried an operation in the town of San Juan Zacatepeques,
in La Puya, in San José del Golfo,
in La Puya, where there's a Vancouver mine operating,
San Rafael Las Flores, el domingo pasado secuestraron a cuatro compañeros de Santa María Xalapán. Desafortunadamente, uno fue asesinado.
The list gets long. He talked about Santa María Xalapán and San Rafael Las Flores, where Tahoe Resources, just down the street on Burrard, is attempting to open up a mine, and there's been the mobilization of troops there, and then just this Sunday, four indigenous leaders were kidnapped. Four indigenous leaders who'd been opposing the mine were kidnapped, and one has been killed. And this new military government in October carried out a fresh massacre, a new massacre in the province of Totonicapán.
Masacre en contra de los hermanos de Totonicapán, también, ¿verdad?, por este gobierno militar actualmente. La población indígena campesina en Guatemala defendemos nuestro territorio porque amamos la vida, amamos la humanidad, porque si destruimos el territorio, estamos destruyendo también la humanidad. Y por eso es que seguimos luchando.
So the Mayan and campesino population in Guatemala, we defend our territories because we love our life and we love humanity. And we recognize that if you destroy the territories, you also destroy humanity. And that's why we really appreciate the solidarity that all of you provide with us, because by displaying the solidarity, the support that you've always provided the CCDA, you're carrying forward our struggle in support of humanity, in support of life, and in support of the territories. Because despite the criminalization of dissent, despite the repression, despite the persecution and assassination of community leaders, we have actually moved forward. We've advanced in our community development. So I remind you that between 1998 and 2012, we managed to recover 26 plantations. Plantations where before our people worked like slaves are now in the hands of our people. And it's from those lands that the Café Justicia that you have supported us by purchasing is produced. And as a result of the Great March last March, part of our negotiations with the government that came out of that is we've been able to get the government to turn over to 14 communities in the Sierra Chinaja, the Chinaja mountain chain, 150,000 hectares of land, which is the equivalent of about 50 of the plantations we had obtained in the previous 14 years. And on that land, we're going to be able to produce basic grains, basic food, so that there's no more malnutrition among the children of that community. And it's only that way that we're going to be able to contribute to the security and the food sovereignty of our people. In a moment, I'm going to talk to you about the three agro-food systems that the CCDA is promoting in our communities. The first is a kind of integrated basic grain system where we're growing corn, beans, squash, and edible herbs that are all grown together. And the second system is our backyard or patio garden system. We're working with families to have create chickens and then mixing the manure of the chickens with household scraps to create worm composting and using that soil to grow intensively vegetables for the families, each family's consumption. And the third system, they call it the water system, and they promote it in the communities that have access to water, to regular water. And it's a combination of fish ponds and then around the edges of the pond growing bananas, growing a root that's called malanga, yuca, and sweet potatoes for family consumption. Before we had land, we couldn't have any real control over what we ate or how we operated. We couldn't even dream of cash crops. And so our first priority are those three systems, to provide food to eat. The second is creating a short commodity chain of products that will bring income, cash into our communities. That's the coffee, the honey, and we're beginning to develop the macadamia nuts.
Este marzo conmemoramos nuestro 31 aniversario y fue nuestro 23 asamblea pública, porque antes, desde el 82 hasta el 90, 91, nuestra organización se sometió a la clandestinidad por la represión que cometieran los gobiernos de facto militares.
Although,
en el país.
Although it was our 31st anniversary this month, we celebrated our 23rd public annual assembly. It was because between 1983 and 1991, we were forced to go underground. And so we were not a public organization, we were a clandestine organization. The slogans from our 23rd public assembly was, in the face of greater repression, greater organization. Our martyrs live and the struggle continues, it continues.
Nuestros mártires viven, la lucha sigue, sigue, sigue.
Bueno. Slogans
también,
always sound better in Spanish. También
compartir con ustedes nuestros programas de desarrollo alternativo que estamos realizando. Manolo, que está allá, es un estudiante que está en Cuba estudiando ciencias económicas ahorita.
So I wanted to share with you briefly some of our alternative development programs that we're developing as a response to this development of death. If you see on the left there, that's Manolo. He's a young CCDA member who's now studying economics in Cuba. Despite the lack of infrastructure, we're trying to train our people, our members, so that they can carry things out. So this, we're training education promoters. This is a class in Coban, in the province of Alta Verapaz, where they have no school. And so we've trained education promoters that are providing the classes.
Porque para no tener más chafas de presidente en Guatemala es importante estudiar.
So, because to not have more soldiers as presidents in Guatemala, it's important that everybody studies. And so this is an example of the conditions in which thousands of campesinos live in Guatemala, homes that are sometimes made just with bamboo, wrapped in plastic. These are conditions that need to change. We need to build decent housing. And so one of the things we've done in the CCDA's coffee mill lands is we've built an oven to bake bricks and to break shingles so that we can start building alternative housing.
En el Facebook, en la página del CCDA, que es CCDA Guatemala, porque vamos a pasar las imágenes de cómo van a quedar las viviendas en dos o tres semanas.
So I want you to pay attention to or visit our Facebook page. It's CCDA Guatemala, because in two or three weeks, you're going to see pictures of how these houses have been transformed.
Muchas gracias por su atención.
Thank you very much.